Welcome to Season 2 of Resting Glitch Face, a Shadowrun actual play.
This is Shannon. I'm playing Eris.
Hi, this is Sid, and I'm playing Jet.
This is Dot. I'm playing Binary.
This is Maddie. I'm playing Collateral.
And my name is Eric, the Game Master. Be warned, some of the following content is not suitable for all audiences. Okay, we'll cut to Eris at the safe house. So, what exactly are you doing?
I'm being sad.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you go through his calls and his agenda and everything, and you find a number correlating with the timing in which he made the phone call supposedly to help your sister.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a phone number.
I'm going to send a message to that phone number.
All right. What's it say?
Can I just send a plot point to have this work?
What are you wanting to work? No, you can pay a plot point. That's fine. I'm just asking, what are you wanting to pay it for?
Should I cancel the job? Or should
Don't
I
cancel the job. Just keep doing. Have a plot point so that they're
so
not.
The thing is,
that you know his like passphrase or something like that.
I'm paying the plot point.
All right, you've paid the plot point. You get a hold of this contact of Thorns.
The plot point is basically like he believes me. Like,
oh, yeah.
That I'm taking over for
as
Thorn.
As a matter of fact, you texting me immediately calls back video, and he says, "It's a pleasure to finally meet you, Rose."
The pleasure's all mine. I believe Blackthorn called you.
Yes, I've been arranging everything. The destination is still negotiable, but I was told that that I would be notified as to where.
Yeah. Yeah. Just let me know when you have her.
Am I still arranging for identification for four?
Who was the four?
You, your sister, your dad, your mom.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I have the records necessary.
So, just to be clear, he's getting IDs for us, but he's only grabbing Azalea.
No, you told. So, essentially, in to put it completely bluntly, this guy is setting up a couple of different Shadowrun teams. One to take Azalea, one to take your dad and your mom probably at the same time, with medical facility ability to care for them and transport them somewhere.
So I could at least get them somewhere safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And presumably under the radar, even if I decide to stay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Except for my mom.
That's what it sounds like.
But my mom's going to think that she's kidnapped, so I have to at least talk to her at some point. Okay. All right. Yeah. I tell them. Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. Everything will be arranged. My point of contact is telling me that transport for the parental units would be ideal probably within the next 6 to 8 hours. Is that acceptable?
Yep.
Then I will green light that. As for the honey bun, that one's ready to go now.
Sounds good.
All right, so I can green light the first leg of this?
Yeah.
You see him turn his head and go, okay.
I'm assuming that phone call's over.
Mm-hmm. Beep. Yep. Where is this? Have we established where it is?
The safe house. Second, we have not established where the safe house is.
The safe house. This was one of my more used ones.
How about this was your first safe house? Like, this is one Thorn helped set you up. Yeah, so you have his ashes. You walk into this safe house, and the first thing that you see is the hallway closet. When you walk in, is slightly ajar, and he had left one jacket there. And you just never got rid of it.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Well, it's because it's a pretty nice jacket, and it's like, you know, it'd be a shame to just throw it out. So.
Ugh, this is dumb. Feelings are dumb. All right, I'm crying. We're already there. It's worse now. I think I'm definitely just like in the middle distance staring and just waiting for something to happen.
Okay. Make a, what's a remember roll? I forget.
It's memory. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's,
memory. Attribute. Yeah.
It's 10 dice. What the fuck? This is so many ones. Okay, it's only 3 ones.
Only 3 ones out of 10 dice?
Yeah.
Any successes?
2.
Okay, so you're okay. Yeah. All right, so as you're sitting there, you're looking, and ShamWow gave you Thorn's ashes, so it's a...
It was the respectful one, and I think it was in something?
No, it wasn't. He said that he couldn't do that, but it's in a bag.
It's in a bag in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have this box of ashes, and you're just kind of sitting there looking at it and feeling sad, and then...
I'm trying to find something suitable to put the ashes in. Like, I don't know, some decorative... Listen, Eris is who Eris is. She has some stupid fucking rich person decorative bullshit that she can put these ashes in. Yeah,
you actually have like a really nice like porcelain piece of art or something like that. I don't know. Shit. So you're like, I know I have something to put this in, you know, and it's – you're like, well, maybe it's in the closet. Right. And when you go in there, you get your decorative thing and Thorn's jacket kind of falls off the hanger and boom, boom, it opens up. Now that you're like really looking at it, the way it's laying looked like it had a little inside like hidden pocket.
Oh, man. OK. I'm going to check it.
The way that the inner lining of the jacket is sewn, it looks like it's a seam. But you know there's something in there. You're like, well, am I going to have to damage the coat? And you kind of run your fingers along this fold, and you can feel the seam, and then it turns into a pocket so you can actually put your hand in it. But it's very, very well done. I mean, this suit jacket is like thousands of new yen. So your hand goes in there, and you can feel that there's like a little wad of something in there.
Okay. And I'm being like stupid careful with this thing. Like it's a special, like it's made of glass and it might break if I drop it. Just because, like, you know how it is. Sad things are sad.
Yep. So you pull this out and it's a small handkerchief, pocket square, something like that. But it's silk. And when you pull it out, there's something inside it. You open it up and there's a small bag of pills.
Oh, damn.
And you have knowledge drugs or something like that.
I do.
And you know instantly that this is a designer drug that only like 1%ers could ever afford, because it's like some sort of extract from some endangered plant in the Atlan, and it's like super high.
Okay, I'm just gonna.
But you never saw Thorn do drugs ever.
Yeah,
like I said, it was wrapped up, and it was a little like a little bag, a little like clear bag. You can tell that there were more, and a couple of them had been crushed because you can see powder inside it.
Oh, well, that's weird. Okay, so it's a good high. Is it used for anything else? Like,
well, you know that in microdoses, it makes people very, very susceptible to suggestion.
Oh, that's creepy. So I just still, it's a good high though, you said?
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, so you're sitting there holding the silk handkerchief and you look down and, you know, there's your strong box.
Right, because I'm organizing everything. Yeah, it makes sense to get this out.
Okay.
To, like, put the stuff in.
All right. So you open up your stash, and, you know, as organized as you've got it, it looks, you know, it looks pristine. Now what?
I should go talk to my mom so that she does not... No, I'm going to wait. That's someone else's problem.
So you're not going to see your dad or your mom before they go?
Mm-mm, nope.
Okay. Damn, that's cold.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's what's safest.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, fine. I'll call my mom.
Okay, you call your mom. Finally, where are you?
Out. What's happening?
Or is this video?
Nope.
Okay. She says, I'm not just talking to a disembodied voice.
It's always been fine in the past.
Okay. I need you here now.
Why?
Because someone has to sit with your father and someone has to sit with your sister. So I know you have a full social calendar, but I think maybe you need to drop it for just a little bit. So maybe I can, you know, go and see your sister.
Did he wake up?
Come find out yourself. Click.
Fuck.
Bitch.
You get a text from Jet and it just says, checking in, question mark.
Thumbs down emoji.
I call her back.
What? You better be on your way.
I literally can't right now. There's no way for me to get there.
Really?
Yes.
I want you to think really long and hard about what you're saying.
I want you to understand that I have responsibilities and I'm dealing with a lot of stuff right now. And I can't drop everything that I have going on right now to go to the hospital.
Your things are more important than your dad.
Not than my dad.
And than your sister.
Not than my sister.
You say these things, but yet
maybe the things that I'm doing are to help my dad and my sister. And if I drop doing this, I'm not going to be able to help them anymore. And me sitting there isn't helping.
Bianca, you're no one's savior.
Cool, 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 cool. All right. Well,
Just.
I love you. Bye. Hang up.
Okay.
She calls you.
I ignore the call and I text back, busy.
I double call. She's going to keep fucking calling.
Yeah, no, I'm going to answer on the second time.
Okay. He's like, what's going on?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm worried about you, dude. Where are you? What's going on?
Like, worried because you're my friend or worried because you got to report into your boss what I'm doing?
What are you fragging talking about?
You've been spying on me and reporting back to Falstaff. Don't try to jet your way out of this. I fragging know what you've been doing.
Don't try to jet my way out of this? What?
Oh, you weren't about to spin up a web of bullshit?
Okay, bitch. This is maybe getting a little aggressive. Okay, why the frag do you think I'm spying on you? What leads you to believe that?
Well, have you ever considered that maybe I'm a Shadowrunner and I'm able to get information? And that information was that you've been spying on me to Falstaff since you came back.
Okay. Fragging, fine. Okay. Bianca, I am telling you this because I am your friend, okay?
Okay.
Falstaff asked me to look after you. Yeah. He did not ask me to report back. And I didn't report Dick back. He was like, oh, just make sure she stays alive, which is what I was going to do anyway. Make sure you stay alive and get paid to do that. You tell me you would turn that down?
I trusted you not to tell him anything. I believe you when you say that. But you're telling me this because you're my friend? No, Buldrick! You're telling me this because you got caught. You could have told me this in the beginning.
No, I couldn't.
Oh, really? You couldn't have been like, oh, by the way, I'm getting paid to keep you alive. I'm going to do it anyway because we're fucking best friends. But no, you...
It was part of the agreement.
The agreement was you couldn't tell me about it.
Yeah.
And you think Falstaff was going to find out with fucking Val keeping our shit secure?
Okay, let's get one thing straight. Val is keeping nothing secure.
Not from herself, but from others she is.
I do not fragging trust her to...
We didn't have to have it over... We didn't have to have the conversation over comms. It's like you don't even know me. You don't think I can make a safe space where we can have that conversation?
I'm busy, okay? I got Drek going on that isn't about you, okay?
You've been busy for 4 months whenever we were just hanging out at your house watching the Trid. You were too busy. You couldn't have been like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm getting paid by Falstaff to keep you safe. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not telling him anything because we're friends.
I don't think you can understand with the amount he was paying me. I couldn't risk the bag.
But you could risk our friendship. You could risk the trust we have.
I would love to have the luxury to be able to, like, renege on a deal that I made with a Johnson, but not all of us have a friggin' safety net like you do.
What the fuck?
Dude, I don't have a mom and dad who are super rich who can friggin' bail me out of any situation I get myself into.
I haven't always been sure I had that either.
Yeah, but you've got like a billion safe houses and designer clothes and shit like that. Didn't they?
My parents didn't pay for my safe houses.
But you didn't have to pay for other shit, okay? Some of us got bills.
Right, your bills from the Vori.
Oh, come on. Are you blaming me for, like, not having money? Not having enough money to, like, you know, get surgery or whatever fragging is? Some of us had to pay for our cyberware. Fuck you.
You're not the only one with problems, Julian. You're not the only one who's ever had to worry about money. I've been very, very fortunate in my life.
And bitch got fucking but fortune.
Oh, fuck off. My grandma's trying to destroy all that, or at least write me out of it. That's why I'm thinking about leaving.
You're thinking about leaving?
I don't know. Everything's falling apart.
Yeah, maybe it's time that shit fell apart for you. Maybe it's fragging time that you learned how the rest of us feel, okay?
Right. Yeah, you've never benefited from anyone else, have you?
I have, but I have been hoofing it alone for friggin' 2 years now of my life, and I have...
Did you have to?
Kind of, yeah.
Did you think about ever, I don't know, calling me up?
Hey, Bianca, I know we haven't talked in 2 years, but do you have an extra $3 million laying around?
Oh, and how do you think, based on everything you know about me, how do you think I would have responded to that?
I don't know, dude.
Yes.
You realize how that doesn't help. That doesn't help me feel better.
Do you want me to pay off the Vori right now? You never asked. I was respecting your boundaries. But if you want me to pay off the Vori, if you want me to pay for your apartment, I will.
That's okay. First of all, that
you're right. I'm overstepping. That's my whole point. I will if you want me to. But if you don't want me to, then we're fine.
No, you don't have to friggin' pay off the Vori now because my sugar daddy's paying for the Vori. Fuck you.
Right, your sugar daddy for spying on me. Because you would rather spy on your friend than ask your friend for help. Even if the help was just getting you better jobs, negotiating you a higher rate, I would have done it. I would have done anything.
Doesn't...
You and Ari have always been my best friends.
Yeah.
I know you don't like her, but you know how I am. I would do anything for you.
You wouldn't stay sober for me.
You never fragging asked me to.
Should I have had to ask you?
Why? You never asked me to. Why would I? I'm not a fragging mind reader. And why is it so important to you? Why does it matter if I do drugs? And Bianca being a little shit is, she's got a box of drugs on her lap right now, and she's just gonna fucking grab something.
She says, well, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into, you always do this. I'm trying to be mad at you, and you're just changing the fragging subject, and you know what? I don't care if you leave. Just go. If you're gonna go, go. Okay? Good fragging riddance. The job with Falstaff is over anyway, okay? So I don't have to watch you. You don't have to look after yourself. You can do whatever you want, and I don't care.
Great. Cool.
Get fragged. Hang up.
As you're sitting there, you start getting notifications. Boonk, boonk, boonk.
What are they?
Account frozen. Account frozen. Account frozen. Account frozen. So you go up to your apartment?
Yeah, and she's going to change.
All right, you come out and from your shower and your change, and Boggs is sitting there and he's got his, he's working on AR and stuff. Mm-hmm. Dogleash is not there. So, and you see Boggs has got like a thing of iced tea sitting there and the ice is starting to melt and he hasn't even really touched it and he's all, focused.
So, how's it going?
All right, he says, well, okay, yeah, there's a, you said that it was okay to reach out to like, contacts and stuff. So I reached out to, you know, this decker that I've used in the past, local person.
Right.
And they said that basically this Jenna Mayfair person that in ShadowNet, they talked about it a long time ago. Like, you know, 10 or so, 15 years ago, there was a whole thing about this Jenna Mayfair. The name popped up a couple of times. So what I know about Jenna Mayfair is that there was some chatter. Apparently, this Jenna Mayfair person, father, worked for this company called Crow Risk Assurance, which was back in the day a security contractor subsidiary of Cross Applied Technologies. Problem is, this this Decker friend of mine or contact of mine, after giving me this information, kind of went off the grid.
That's okay. That's really suspicious. You know, like
yeah, I thought so too.
That's.
I mean, we're not close friends, you know, or anything like that, but at least acknowledge that I sent you a message and, you know, and that they received their payment for, you know, because I pay my contacts sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I'll pay you for this.
That would be great because, you know, I'm worried that looking into that name may have, you know, caught somebody's attention maybe.
Do you think that you caught somebody's attention or just him?
Well, we're not that close of friends. So if push comes to shove, it's not like he's going to act like he doesn't know who I am.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Well, I mean, did he get like a picture of her or anything like that?
Yeah. Here he goes, floop, pops it up. And the first thing you notice is that it is your face.
Yeah. Okay.
But like of a young you.
Yeah.
And the picture that you have of, you know, the report of your abduction, it's the same face, but different bodies.
Okay. Interesting. And she brings
I mean, like, not just same. I mean, like, literally like photoshopped your face onto this picture.
Onto
the one that says Juilliard Burton kidnapped.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. So she says, okay, so that's me.
Yeah. Well.
So...
I mean, I could see the resemblance.
Well, not only that, but the picture that Val sent me earlier from the stuff that she found in Kobe's notes, and she brings that up because she has that saved. She brings that up and she's like, look, it's the same face.
And he looks at it and he goes, yeah, that's really well done too. That's like professionally done.
Yeah. So, and this is the fake, right? So somebody wanted everybody to think that Juilliard Burton went missing.
Yep.
So, okay.
So who's the real Juilliard Burton?
I don't know. I guess the only way to know would be to call my mother.
I mean, how old were you when you were adopted? We don't know.
I don't know anything. Up until fully 12 hours ago or so, I didn't know any of this
stuff. Well, at least this seems to verify... Mm-hmm. At least it's suspicious enough that maybe, you know, maybe this, you know, this guy who says he's Falstaff is, you know, at least he's seems legit on that point.
Yeah. So like there's something crazy going on there. And the man who says he's Falstaff said also that he was managing partner of Aunt Delilah's.
Oh, well, that should be able to.
So that's another thing. Yeah.
I mean, I wish Val was here. She's much better at this stuff.
No, I know.
Because normally I would reach out to Val. And I mean, before I met Val, I went to this Decker and he was actually kind of pissed that I hadn't paid him in a while because, you know, I hadn't needed to.
Right. Okay. If I don't do it now, I'm going to chicken out. I'm just going to do it. Now is the time for boldness, I think.
Okay.
She's going to dial her mom's phone number.
Okay. Hi, this is Josie. Who's this?
Hi, Mom. How's it going?
Pregnant pause. Juilliard.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you called. Your father and I have been worrying about you.
Yeah. For 2 years. Sorry to make you worried.
So out of the blue, just...
Yeah.
You need something.
No, I don't need... Well, I just...
You need money.
No, I don't need any money. I'm doing better than I have been. Thank you.
Are you still with her?
No. No, I am not.
Okay. Well, at least you've got that going for you.
Yeah. I've got regular work.
Okay. So what you called for a purpose. It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. So are you in a pickle?
No, not per se. First of all, I just wanted to say I'm really sorry for making you worry. Because I don't know, one of my friends just was missing her mom, and I thought that it was pretty scummy of me not to call you up when I have a mom who loves me.
You're I'm glad to hear that. So this new job of yours has good benefits?
Because
it sounds like you're talking to like a therapist and things.
No. I've just had a lot of time to think lately.
Mm-hmm. Where are you?
Where am I?
Yeah.
In my apartment. Hey, Mom, am I adopted?
Left field.
It wouldn't be a Juilliard conversation if she wasn't.
Is this
being
video
squirrely.
Or just audio?
She's gonna change it to video.
All right.
So she's sitting on the couch and she has Bog sitting over somewhere else.
Okay. All right. So now you see your mom. I mean, it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
And she looks really good. Like maybe she got some work done.
That's unusual and bad, actually. She's like, Mom, you look good.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm going to go back to the – I realize I'm changing
the
subject.
You're asking me if you were adopted and yes. Then you tell me how good I look. No. Why would you even suspect such a thing? I mean, we are – you know, we've not always seen eye to eye, but, you know, are you sure you're not seeing some sort of therapist that's like putting these ideas in your head?
No. I am definitely not seeing a therapist. No. The reason why I ask is because I found a picture of you holding me in front of Aunt Delilah's children's home. Well, so I got like...
Oh, I understand. No. Okay.
You got to understand like why that sets off alarm bells, you know?
Okay. Your father was very stern about that.
Uh-huh.
You were taken from us when you were younger.
Okay.
And when the authorities found you, you were being cared for at that place and we came and got you.
Okay.
So I'm sorry you had to learn it that way.
I mean, thanks for coming to get me.
Of course. I mean, we found out where you were. I was worried sick. I mean, right. I was really bad off. I mean, we thought we lost you.
Yeah.
You were literally taken from us as, you know, I mean, it was like turn around, look at something, turn around, you're gone.
Right.
Mother's greatest fear in the world.
Yeah. And then, of course, I dropped off the face of the earth 18 years later.
Well, at least at this point, you're an adult. So, I mean, yes, does it hurt any less? No. But I know that you had to do your own thing and that for whatever reason, we weren't providing it for you.
It wasn't anything you did. It was, I mean, after the accident, everything was so much, and then losing my position, and I mean, you saw how it was.
Yeah, I did. And I mean, it's, you know what? It's all behind us.
So what have you been up to? Like I said, you look really, like, really good.
Oh, well, as it turns out, my company was downsizing and decided to shit can me.
Right. Sorry to hear that.
Well, I fought it, and it turns out that legally they weren't allowed to do what they did. So I ended up with a relatively nice settlement out of the deal.
Oh, shit. Mom, that rules. Can I judge intent?
Yeah.
Really quick.
Right.
My mom being skeezy as fuck.
It's 9. Okay.
So I'm not really allowed to talk about it because there's a gag order, but...
Yeah, red flag.
Where's my red flag I was waving earlier?
Yeah, 3. Is 3 good enough?
I mean, you've not seen your mom in 2 years, but you know enough of her tells to know that she is not telling you the truth.
Okay, yeah, Mom, that's really cool. Legal action, huh? And then she gives her mom a look and she's like, I mean, Mom, come on.
What?
So, like, what have you been doing lately then? Are you just, like, stay at home or?
Oh, since I got the money.
Yeah, since you got the money.
Well, I've been spending a lot of time at the art museum. I've become a benefactor.
That's a lot of money. Okay, how much money are we talking?
I can't talk about it. Not over the phone, at least.
Ah, well, benefactor of the art museum, huh?
Well, I mean, I'm not the only one. I'm just part of the, you know, community.
Right. No, that's pretty crazy. Pretty yeah. crazy stuff.
I mean, with the amount that I got, I could have owned the transportation company, but, you know.
Yeah. So is Dad still doing good?
Well, he's not cooking anymore, that's for sure.
Right.
Well, he's playing a lot of golf.
Okay.
We've met some new friends. They're really cool.
Oh, that's neat. Mm-hmm. Just some friends local Memphis?
Yeah, country club, that kind of thing.
Country club
stuff? They tease us because we're new money, but...
So they're like old money then?
No, they are certainly not. They're just older money than us.
Ah.
You know, your father wants to be in with this like new crowd and it's kind of silly, but sorry. We like it, you know.
So I assume you're still not living off 14th Street then?
No.
Well, that's really nice.
Yeah, things have really turned around.
Like I said, I've got a lot of plates spinning, but I'll have to come down and visit you guys sometime.
Oh, down so you're up north.
And she wrinkles her face just like, oh, shit.
You're on a video call.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I know. Well, I mean, her mom knows her well enough. She knows that she knows, and it's a whole thing. She's like,
door opens. Got Ted Drews.
Shit.
Fucking hell.
She's like, anyway, mom, I got to go. Bye. Click.
All right. Click. All right. And he's like,
oops.
Cardinal sin for you. And he's like, Boggs, I just got you a strawberry because fuck, I don't know what you eat. He's like, oh, thank you.
Son of a...
Who are you talking to?
Bitch.
And Boggs' face, he just kind of looks at it like, ugh. And he's like, thanks.
I have some chocolate syrup in the fridge if you want any.
No, it's he kind of sits down. It's a little too rich for me. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I was, I just called my mother.
What
so.
The... yeah, so then... Dogleash sits down. He's got three tubs of different. He's got like three different flavors, and he's scooping one. And he's got a. He's like scoop. Take you know one scoop from each and puts it into his bowl. And he's mixing it up, and he's like, he goes, "Oh, why would you do that? I thought you and your mom weren't getting along."
Well, I mean, by not getting along, what I mean is that I went and said some hurtful things, and then I said I don't want to see her again, and it was a whole thing.
Enough said.
Anyway, no, she's doing, like, suspiciously well.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, my parents, when I left 2 years ago, mm-hmm. were a bus driver and a line cook, right?
Okay, that's respectable.
Respectable stuff, yeah, but she's a member of a country club now.
So she came into some money.
Yes. She says it was from a lawsuit, but I don't fragging buy it. But she has like art museum benefactor type of money.
Hmm. Okay. But so what did you call her for?
To find out if I was adopted.
What'd she say?
No. Mm. But the thing is that, and this is nothing that you did, Dogleash, and you didn't know, and there's no way you could have known.
Boggs is like, don't even say it. And he's like typing up and...
You did just
don't. I mean, and Dogley's like, what?
You walked in and said, I've got Ted Drews. It's a St. Louis thing. She knows where I live now.
Oh, shit.
Anyway.
Boggs like, so you think your mom lied to you?
Oh, I am positive she lied
about
to
the
me.
Money. What about the
about
adoption?
The money. Definitely about the money. Maybe about the, you know, looking back, can I assess? Okay, I'm going to assess.
You can replay it because you had it on video.
She watches it again. Another three.
All right, yeah. You get the same. She's not telling you the truth. Or at least there's something not right about the way she said it.
I don't know. It's. I don't know if she's straight up lying, but she's definitely omitting some things.
Well, that's weird. Your daughter asks you, are you...
I mean, it's an awkward question.
Am I adopted? The answer is no, and you feel like she's omitting something.
Yeah, there's something weird about it, but I don't know what. If Peabody is behind this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, they already know her. They've met her. They look up to her. Like, they basically surrendered custody of me to her. So, yeah, they definitely do something for her if she asks them to.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, I think I can say one thing for certain, and that's that these motherfucking rich people have been fragging around in my life for too long.
Boggs says, we need to blow this shit up.
I...
Not like literally blow it up, but like, you know.
Worst phrasing ever.
I mean, you know, like leak it. You know, we need to like do an expose on this shit.
I don't want to do that right now.
I mean, the people need to know this stuff.
People need to know this stuff. But like also, I'm not in a place right now where I can afford to like blow my business all over the matrix, you know. Mm. There's something going on here. I don't know what, but for some reason, a bunch of rich people decided when I was a baby that I deserved to be like tossed around like a frag and rag doll. And I don't appreciate it. One.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it means that I am in a more precarious situation than ever now that I'm actually working for one.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Boggs says, it sounds like we need to find out who the fuck this Falstaff really is.
Yeah, we need to figure some stuff out. Do you have any pictures of him?
Unless you took one, no.
I don't think I did. I think Shift did, though, during our first meeting.
Yes, I think so, too.
Yeah, so she's going to text Shift and say, hey, do you have any pictures of that Falstaff guy? ASAP.
Not received.
God damn it. Okay, so she's got to be in the stacks, too. Dogleash, we might have to go up to the stacks.
All right, he's like, oh, okay. Well, here, let me go put my boots on.
At the very least, Val's got to be in there, and either she needs a distraction or she's causing a distraction. And I can't think of anybody much more distracting than you, Dogleash. So, and me.
That sounds like a compliment.
Between the two of us, I'm sure we're very distracting. I mean, although it might be a little difficult with the electronics on your guns because apparently it's all...
What?
Well, I mean, apparently anybody who goes in there, like drones, can't fly over it because they just...
Oh, so it's...
It's a dead zone.
So no electronics?
No electronics.
Old school.
Old school.
Okay. Then...
She goes and gets her sword off the wall. Nice.
He's like, okay, we're going to do it that old school. Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm going to do it that old school because I like swords. But if you have like... just a regular ass revolver or something like that, I'm sure that'll suffice.
Where is this stacks at?
North City.
Can we swing by a Nuke It Burger?
Sure. Sure, we can. Actually, we can swing by Guy's Nuke It Burger.
Okay, whatever.
I don't know if we're going to go in yet, but at the very least, I want to be in position just in case.
Okay, yeah, sure. So we're going to, he's like looking at his comm and he's like, okay, on the way to the stacks and Guy's Nuke It Burger's here. Okay.
See, it's pretty much a straight line.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cutting to the stacks.
I'm ready.
All right. So you are now walking into the stacks.
Well, we were technically in the stacks.
Yes.
But I'm looking up at this swirling black mirrored orb thing.
Yes. Well, it's a black mirrored orb that's surrounding the stacks.
Yeah.
As you start walking in closer, you get to like the front entrance of the actual building itself.
Mm-hmm.
And Pierre is like a couple steps ahead of you as he's walking up the stairs to this front door. And since you've crossed into the threshold, you do feel your link with Mary.
Yes.
She's above you.
Like up
like,
in
not the... like up, not like above your head, but you know, it's like upstairs somewhere.
Yeah.
And Pierre, like, is like I said, a couple steps ahead of you, walks up to the front door, takes a step into the threshold of the building, turns and looks and says, "We're almost there."
I can feel her.
And I think because you're also like seeing augmented reality and it's kind of a little warped.
Yeah.
He's glowing very brightly.
Pierre is?
Yes.
Nice.
And he doesn't look like a skeezy hippie anymore. He's still barefoot,
yeah.
But he's in more of a robe, and his hair looks very nice, and his beard is very neatly trimmed. And
okay, and this is his, like...
His persona.
His persona, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Val just looks...
So, yeah, he kind of looks like Jesus.
Yeah, I was going to say it's Pierre Jesus.
Or Jared Leto, yeah.
Nice.
Yes. He looks like Jesus Leto.
Oh, no.
No me gusta.
So Val's just kind of like she's just taking it in, just looking at him and trying to suss out whether or not the glow is familiar to her at all.
It seems, I mean, it's a glowing man, so I mean, it's, you know, but he's got definition and form and things like that. You can tell it's him. Yep. He just has this like ambient glow about him.
Nice. Okay. Does Val have a glow about her as well?
Unless you want one. No.
No. Okay, cool.
So you go in
following
him?
Yes, I follow him.
You submerge.
Nice.
Again?
Deeper. And in crossing this threshold, you advance one.
Another one?
Yes.
Holy fuck!
All right, so it's like you feel, all of a sudden you feel this rush of power. And Pierre is standing in front of you and says, exhilarating, isn't it?
Yeah, you could say
and
that.
He's glowing a little bit brighter, too. Oof. And he says, we need to hurry.
Yeah, I can tell she's probably like, maybe like 10 or 11 floors up.
Yeah. All right. As you start moving through the building.
Are we seeing anybody else in
the
building? Okay.
And you see them and a lot of them are not moving, just kind of standing there.
Oh, no.
And as you start moving up, I mean, Pierre just like walks around some of these people and just starts walking up the stairs.
Okay.
And he says, don't worry about them.
I'm trying to keep pace with him, but I'm following a little bit further behind. And as we're weaving through these statuesque people, I am looking at them a little bit more closely.
Okay, making an observation check.
Is that perception?
Yeah, that's what I meant. You're paying a...
I got...
Edge?
Yeah, I paid an edge to make a 4 or 5. I got 2 successes.
Okay, so as you're looking at these people, as you're weaving between them, there's a couple of things that stand out. Number one is they are clearly breathing. That's so it's not like they're like just frozen in time.
Okay.
They're just standing there stock still. They're not in like a frozen position like it looked like they were walking and just stopped. You know, so this isn't a fucking flash mob. They're just standing there as if they're rooted in place. Okay. Everyone, including like children, are just standing stock still. The second thing you notice is that there is, and you got 2 successes, so it's, you're like, there's something not right about them. It's almost like every once in a while, out of the corner of your eye, you see a glint behind them, but not on them, between people. Almost like the light catches a piece of tinsel for like a second, and it's, you get this feeling that there's something connecting all of these people.
Yuck. I don't love that. Okay.
And he's just trucking through them and up the stairs, passing by people. You see people with clear, vory tattoos and everything just kind of standing there.
With me being submerged, I don't have the ability to, like, would I be able to be recording all of this?
Yes. And honestly, with you being submerged, you shouldn't be physically walking anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out, is what, this is Val's meat body walking around, but she's submerged.
But she's submerged. You shouldn't be doing
this. That's fucked up. Okay. If she can be recording things, she will be.
Okay. All right, so it takes just a matter of time to walk up all the flights of stairs. And as you're getting higher and higher up the staircase, you're seeing there's like people in the hallways and things like that. And you can just kind of see them, or they're actually in the staircase. And as you reach about the 10th floor, you can see that there are some people standing there. And now you can see this tinsely, wispy connection between people a little bit more clearly. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's coming out of the back of their head and going into the back of other people's heads. So it's like linking them from back of their head to back of their head.
I hate it. Okay. And there's no way for her to like interact with that, right?
You're trying to like hack it or something like that?
Not necessarily, but like, is it just something that she is seeing and then like she gets up close and it kind of like fades away?
Yes,
so it's not something
exactly.
It's not tangible
to
her.
Like, it's like grabbing smoke.
Okay. Okay. That's
so you know it's there. You have no way to actually interact with it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. She's just going to keep walking towards where she feels Mary.
Okay. You pass the 11th floor and you're just still going up. Almost like you're headed towards the roof.
But I feel the link still going up. Okay. All right. We're going.
You reach the roof, and when you step out, you see Mary for the first time, and she's floating about 15 feet above your head, arms spread wide in like a Jesus Christ pose, feet pointed straight down. she's looking up and she has this like corona of light around her, but the light has this like inky ooze kind of lacing through it.
No.
And her eyes are wide open and she's looking to a point up in the air as she's doing this. So now you come out to the, you're on the roof and Pierre's standing there and he's looking up at her and he looks right at you and he says, "Isn't she beautiful?"
What is happening to her?
And as you say that, her head turns down and looks down at you, and you can feel her presence, and she says, "Val, help me."
My girl, oh God!
And, okay. And then Pierre is like, "Look," and he points, and you turn to see what he's pointing at, and now it's almost as if you are on top of some sort of a structure where you're looking down at, like, the rest of the city, but it's way below you, and you can see the layout of it, but it's completely different than what you're used to. And the streets of the city aren't, it's not like they're at right angles. They kind of swirl, and they're swirling all around in this pattern.
Is this a pattern that Val has seen before? There was a swirly pattern, but I'm trying to remember what it was
for. The swirly pattern was from the STL Wow job, yeah. The pattern of the...
Of the, where the fires were being...
Yes.
Being made, where the fires were
happening.
It's
the exact same symbol.
Okay, but is Mary still...
Yeah, she's still above you, but now you're like... And Pierre says, "It's all happening here. I should have known."
Val starts to have tears coming out of her eyes. I don't know what's happening. I need to help her.
Your face is like just running with tears.
Yes.
And you look down and you see like dribbling onto your shirt. The tears are leaving black stains.
As she notices the stains, she like tries to wipe her eyes and is like, what is this?
All right. He looks at you and he says, "You have been anointed. Consider yourself very fortunate."
I didn't ask for any of this. I just want to help her. I just want to make sure she's okay.
She is exactly where she should be.
She's just a little girl.
She is, and she isn't.
I'm tired of the riddles. What does that mean?
That means that she is here to cleanse the world, and we must help her with that. She is the Ajita.
I try to go towards her.
Okay. As you're, like, taking a couple of steps, she says, Val, don't.
I need to help you.
And then Pierre's, like, right over your shoulder, and he says, "The only way to help her is to join her."
What do I do? What do I do to help her?
Help her focus. She is a child, and she's scared, and she trusts you. And he smiles and says, "You're her mommy now."
Yuck.
All right, she's up there above you, and... you get this feeling that you're missing some pieces mm-hmm. of something. And she looks down at you and she says, "He's going to kill me. Help me." And then you feel Pierre's hand on your shoulder and he says, "She needs her armor. It's only through the armor can she be protected."
Oh, this is the worst, y'all.
And she's looking down at you and she's like, her eyes are wide with fear and she's shaking her head.
I go over to her. Can I? She's like 15 feet in the air still. Yeah, I can't reach her.
How would you reach her?
I don't know. I was going to try and touch her somehow.
No, she's too far up.
So she's going to... The same floating through the water experience that she had with Mary, she's going to try to emulate those feelings and like push herself up to reach Mary.
All right. Yep. You float right up to her. Then that's when you hear Pierre say, "What are you doing?"
I come like face to face with Mary. Like I'm... close to her. I go to like put my hands on the side of her face and I'm like, "It's okay. It's okay. Everything's gonna be okay. I've got you."
All right. She says, "I'm everywhere. I can't hold it together."
"So let go."
"I can't. It's got me."
"What has you?"
She just looks at you like almost with like a 1,000-yard stare, almost as if she's looking through you. She says, "Val, I can't see you. Where are you?"
"I'm right here, Mary. I'm right here." I try to like,
"Help me."
I mean, I was wondering if the skin link would do anything when I touched Mary.
Oh, that's for electronics though, right?
Yeah, but I figured like...
Okay.
The thing
right,
that's in her...
So, all right, yeah. When you reach out and you touch her face as if to like steady her and she's looking through you, mm-hmm. now you almost feel like you're now seeing through her eyes.
Oh, great.
And now you're hovering above... almost like the same point, and you're looking down at the same city, but now the city's a ruin.
Oh, no.
And instead of a river going next to this swirling street city, it looks like just a black lake. And the sky itself is like a silvery black. And then you see the swirled ruins of the city below you. And then you can see like a little glinting of golden light. And you've been here before. You know what this is.
Yeah. The glint of golden light, where in relation to like...
It's right in the middle of the swirl, like almost like a, if there's a center of town where all the swirling roads and everything meet, that's where the golden light is.
Okay.
And now you're like looking through her eyes and she said, and but she's clearly looking, but now she's like, I can't see you, Val, but I can feel you.
So follow that. Follow me. Find me.
All right. She says, I'm everywhere, Val. I need to focus.
No, Mary, you don't. You need to let go.
He won't let me.
Who?
All right. She stares at the golden light, and now it feels like the golden light is starting to grow. She says, I need you, Val.
What do you need?
I need you to protect me.
I'm here.
Put on the armor, Val. Put on the armor.
Oh, boy. Okay. Val starts to reach for the chips in her pocket and then looks at the growing gold light and says, you can't have us. And she grabs the chips, thinking that she's doing the right thing.
Okay, so you grab the chips and now the golden light grows and then stops growing when you do that. And you look down at yourself. Now it's like you are looking through Mary's eyes, and now you feel like you're separated from Mary, but you're still there with her. And she turns and looks at you, and you look back at her, and she, instead of having this ambient glowing light behind her, now it's an ambient darkness behind her. But she herself has this energy pulsing through her. And you look down at yourself, and the first thing you see is your legs. They look exactly like Jet's legs. And then you look and both of your arms are covered in this silvery metal armor. And then you look up and you've got giant silver angel wings. And you turn and then you look at Mary and you see that the darkness behind her starts to fade. And she says, thank you, Val. Now I can think. Thank you. We need to go.
Yes, we need to go. We need to get out of here.
She grabs onto you and she says, you are my protector here, and I need the other two.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Resting Glitch Face. Theme music by Synthesk. Background music by Machinima Sound. Outro music by Austin Miller. Edited and produced by Sid. Continuity consulting by Dot. Shadowrun is property of Catalyst Game Labs. Resting Glitch Face is a production of Openly Gamer Theater and property of Side Tangent Productions.